On this night, we gather with many other Christians around the world to remember the Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples before his execution. And many of us, all of us, have come here after a long day. And perhaps our day has had many distractions, many frustrations. Now, as we come into this place, let us just take a moment of quiet and silence before we worship together. I invite you to rise in body or spirit as we join together in our call to worship. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." On this day, the Christ took a towel and washed the disciples' feet.
On this day, the Christ broke bread for his disciples, telling them to eat.
On this day, the Christ poured out wine, telling them to drink the cup of new life. On this day, Christ gave his whole self that we too might follow and find abundant life. And let us join together in singing verses 1, 3, and 5. "This is the Night," number 206. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we offer you our lives, full as they are of shadow and light, of kindness and apathy, of hope and despair. Take what is broken and mend it. Take what is wrong and right it. Take what is destructive and disable. God's beloved, Jesus said, "I came not to judge the world, but to save the world." And having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The good news is this: we are forgiven. We are loved.
You.
let us offer together an expression of what we believe. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of God's love and peace. Peace be.
Thank you. Clara has shared with us tonight that Sandy Lutterly, did I pronounce that correctly? Her cancer has returned. She is asking for prayers. I trust that you will be faithful in remembering Sandy and her loved ones in your prayers in these days. This is a special night. Easter is not something we rush into. We have 40 days of Lent. Then we have these three special days called Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, in which slowly we move through the story. Tonight, the story tells us about Jesus gathering his friends, sharing with them the meal. Some call it a Eucharist, some call it the Lord's Supper, some call it Holy Communion, but it was a time in which the bread and the cup were shared. Jesus' own life poured out for each. Jesus also washed the disciples' feet. There are churches that will be doing that tonight. Our Anabaptist brethren, especially. Do you know what the Anabaptists are? Church of the Brethren, Mennonite, and other groups in the Anabaptist tradition. They will wash each other's feet as Jesus gave his example of washing the disciples' feet. I always think that there's hope for the world as long as Christians are washing each other's feet. Tonight we gather in prayer, and I invite you to take this first moment of silence to remember Sandy and her loved ones and family, and then to be led in our evening prayer. Gracious God, we gather as those who wish and strive to follow Jesus in our living and to trust his power in our dying. We gather to be renewed as we bring our life once again to the story that ended on a cross but did not end on a cross, that out of this death, and therefore our death, is resurrection. We recognize in ourselves the strengths and weaknesses of Jesus' disciples. And although they loved him, they still needed to grow into a larger love. And so do we. So do we. We need to grow into a larger love. Our love is too small. Too many lines drawn. Too many impossibilities in the way. Oh God, give us that larger love. And so he gathered with these imperfect friends. We're so glad they were imperfect, because we are too. And we remember that Jesus washed their feet and then extended the bread and the cup to each. And then Jesus called them to love one another in a new and deeper way. And then he invited them to share in his very life and in his acceptance of the road ahead. Oh God, we are humbled and honored and inspired by this deep love Christ extends to the world, and that you call us now to be the body of Christ the body of Christ, to love the world like Christ. Forgive us when we fail, and guide us back to a place of trust and faithful living. Grant us the vision to see the world not with human eyes. That's much too narrow, much too dim, much too distorted. We don't want to see the world as we see it. We want to see the world as you see it. With love and compassion for each creature and all of your creation. For each and every one. And for everything. We bring this prayer and every prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us in prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us rise in body or spirit, together singing hymn number 202, verses 1, 2, and 3. Please be seated as our ushers come forward to receive this evening's offering. Thank you.
us, O God, to offer you the very gift of our lives in every moment. And this evening, we return to you a portion of the gifts that we have been given. And may they be used for the good of all of your beloved creation.
This evening's reading is John 13, 1 to 17, and 31 to 35. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already decided that Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, would betray Jesus. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from supper, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you as an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, slaves are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. But if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." In verse 31, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to you, the Jew, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you, Janet. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So far in my life, I have been fortunate to have a decent memory. I'm very good at remembering all the stupid things I've done, and I do enjoy berating myself for them from time to time. I am even better at remembering the not-so-nice things that have been done to me. But every so often, people will tell me that I can have a selective memory. You know, when I promise to get a project done for someone by midnight, I promise this is it. I forgot. When I promise my doctor to get the blood work done before my next appointment, I promise if you'll just renew my prescription, please. I promise. Slip my mind. I promise my friend that I will help her clean. I'm kidding, I would never make that promise in the first place. But I have selective memory. For the things that I really don't want to do, oh my goodness, how quickly they leave my mind. And so it really hit me hard this week when somebody asked me, why do we call it Maundy Thursday? Because I had forgotten again. Even though someone asks me nearly every year, and I honestly answer very embarrassed, I can't remember. Every time somebody asks me, I look it up, and I know it right then. I know why we call it Maundy Thursday. I know what it means. But the next time I'm asked, it's gone. And I make excuses, and I say it's all the years that I spent going to Catholic Church where we more commonly call this sacred day Holy Thursday. And that, no, that's not why. When I looked up the definition of Maundy again this year, I thought about my selective memory. And when I learned again, or for the first time, that Maundy comes from the Latin mandatum, and it means mandate. And it refers to the command that Jesus gives his disciples in the story from John that Janet just read for us. He gives this one command to love one another. But I seem to forget that that is a mandate. Because it's rough. That's the greatest commandment. And if we think about what it means that we're here observing Maundy Thursday, Mandate Thursday, this loving one another is a mandate from Jesus, this man that we say we are following. Oh, we're good about remembering. I'm good about remembering to share the bread and the cup. We love doing this. We take great pains to remember the traditional way we celebrate the Lord's Supper, how high we fill the juice cups, the table gets covered with a certain correct white cloth. We remember that, and that's great. But tonight, Mandate Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we are mandated to remember to love one another. It's such a challenge that I know I've tried to make it a little bit easier, a little more palpable. Yeah, you could love your family first, and then love your friends. I could do that. And then love your neighbors, and then if there's enough love left over, you can widen the circle. And then what does it really mean to love one another? To do no harm? To give them a hand up instead of a hand out? That's loving, right? Well, no, wouldn't you know? Jesus actually demonstrates what loving one another looks like. He did that his whole life. And tonight we remember that he shows love in action again, sets an example. He washes the feet of the disciples. Jesus washed the feet of all of them. John, the beloved disciple, yes. And he also washed Peter's feet. Peter denied him, would deny him three times. And he washes the feet of Judas, who would betray him. Jesus demonstrated just how we are to fulfill the mandate we remember tonight. And tomorrow, we will remember how costly that kind of radical love can be. So Maundy Thursday, love one another, love as Jesus loved. That's what Jesus asks, just that. And that's everything. But it's impossible for us alone. Fortunately, we aren't in it alone. Because the one who washed the feet of the disciples centuries ago, this evening he would wash our feet, wash the parts of us that we would rather keep hidden, even the parts of us that resist, even the parts of us that fail to love again and again. And as the one, this master servant, gave us the mandate to love one another, this one will continue to help us in living it out. And may it be so. In just a moment, as we conclude our time together, our elders have prepared where we recreate this meal of love, this Last Supper. And then following that, we will sing our hymn, but there will be no benediction, for on this night there is no good word. We will leave the sanctuary in silence as the altar is stripped, as we remember and don't rush all the way to Sunday. And let us now come to the table where all are welcome, no matter where you are on your faith journey. This is the Lord's open table.
seated, please. It would not have been God's table if they hadn't all been gathered around it. The betrayer and the friend, the power hungry and the justice seeker, the faithful and the fickle. When Jesus broke the bread, when the bread was broken, when Jesus poured the wine, and the wine was shared, when everyone could eat, the outcast and the beloved, the arrogant and the gracious, the wrongdoer and the wrongly done by, the table became a foretaste of love made real and of a world made whole, a world made whole. Let us pray. Oh God, we would be blessed by the bread that gives itself to us with its terrible weight and its infinite grace. Oh God, we would be blessed by the cup poured out for us with a love that drenches, that makes us new. Tonight, let us gather around these gifts, simply given and deeply blessed. And then let us go bearing the bread, carrying the cup, laying the table within a hungering world. Amen. Thank you.
O Lord Jesus, may this meal that we have shared together sustain and strengthen us these hours we say this evening. May we be your work. Let us rise in body or spirit as we sing our final hymn and depart in silence following the old rite.